Good evening, Audio Boo. I'm joining in the discussion about long-distance relationships, and I'm sure none of you will be surprised about that. The only thing you might be surprised about is I haven't done so earlier. But the fact of the matter is that I did a fairly substantially long boo this morning, and I got interrupted twice by phone calls, and then it wouldn't upload. I'm having this problem fairly regularly now, and it's beginning to really get on my nerves. But anyway, there's nothing I can't say again, and probably I went on too long anyway, so I want to keep it moderately short. So I want to talk about several different things. Firstly, how the communication has changed in the time that I've had several long distance relationships. And secondly, I might not do this in the right order, but another topic is kind of unspoken rules about any relationship, really. And the third thing is just a bit of my own personal stuff, as others have done. I've had two serious long distance relationships. I've never been on a dating site, and both of them started without me intending them to happen. The first one was that I used to watch a program on Animal Planet called Meerkat Manor, and the narrator for that was Bill Nighy. As some of you know, he's an actor, and I looked up Meerkat Manor on Google, and his fan page came up, and I mean I like him, but I didn't go on there because I'm a fan of his. I just went on there because I'm a fan of the show, and there was a whole thread on there of people talking about it, so I joined in. And then the web host, the site master or whatever, webmaster or whatever you call it, said, well, this isn't really the place for this discussion. Okay, it was okay as it started, but can you go and find your own site, please? So someone set up an MSN group in my name. I don't know why they thought I was synonymous with Meerkat Manor. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, they handed it over to me in the end, and I ran it for about 4 years. But this man that I got involved with contacted me, well, I'd say off list, you know what I'm trying to say, privately, to ask if he thought that the story he wanted to post on there was going to cause him a lot of controversy, because it wasn't about meerkats, it was about another wild animal. And anyway, I said, well, send it to me and I'll read it and see what I think. Anyway, he sent it to me. I really liked it. I said, well, some people might criticise you, but go ahead and put it on there if you can think you can stand it. I think most people enjoyed it anyway. And I said, and if there's too much trouble, I'll take it down. So he put it on there and it didn't cause any trouble. But that's how I became kind of friends with him. And things just developed from there, really. He was in America, in California, which is 8 hours behind us, except for a few weeks a year when we don't put our clocks back and forward at the same time. So communication, because of the time difference, wasn't always easy. We started out just on Windows Live Mail and email, Hotmail. And then we got to do Then we got to do Windows Live Messenger, where we hooked up to each other's computers with a camera, a video camera, webcam. I'm getting all the wrong things, saying all the wrong things. A webcam. Or sometimes, mostly just microphones. And I also had a phone plan that enabled me to get, quotes, free calls abroad, but there was a fair usage policy on that, so I couldn't take the pee with it too much. And then there was Skype, so we were both on Skype, so we got it free. And we were together 3 years, and I'd visit him every summer. And he wouldn't come to the UK for various reasons. I don't know that he ever said he would never come to the UK, but the first time I went there, he'd gone through describing his house to me. He lived in a log cabin on a steep hillside in a redwood forest in Northern California, north of San Francisco. I travelled there alone. He picked me up from the airport. He was a sighted guy. Not that that makes any difference, but I will come on to why, in what, one respect, it did make a difference a bit later. But when we got to his house, he took me up because it was built onto a hillside, so you had to go up steps to it. And then there was a deck outside, and so he took me up and he just let me wander around, and I felt like I knew it. I felt like I was going home. It was exactly how I had imagined it all the times we talked. We talked 3 times a day on the phone or Skype or whatever. 6 o'clock in my morning, which was like 10 o'clock at his night. 5 o'clock in the afternoon for me, which was again morning for him. And then 11 o'clock at night for me, which is afternoon for him. And sometimes at night, we would actually leave the microphones on Windows Live Messenger, and I would go to sleep with it on, and I could hear him walking around his house, doing his feeding his dog, his pet dog, whatever. And he'd come in every so often to say, "You still awake?" And we kept in touch with email, because I did have a mobile phone, but it didn't have all the features it has now, and I wasn't on Facebook back then. Then I began to realise, well, there were some issues, which I'm not going to go into on here, because it wouldn't be fair to do so, and it's not really relevant anyway, but I began to look to the future, which when we started, I must admit, we didn't do. And I began to realise, okay, he can't travel for whatever reason, and I am travelling now. And yes, I pay, although he paid the last time I went. And I have all the hospitality, and he pays for my food, etc. And we had a marvellous time together. We went to visit lots of places, and I wish I'd have been audio boo back then, really, because it would have been nice to have the memories. I've got lots of photos, but I can't see them, which is a bit sad, really. But anyway, we didn't have. So I began to think, well, I've got this kidney disease, and I didn't know back in the beginning of 2010 what the future held with it, how long. Nobody knew how long it would be before I went on dialysis, and I didn't know that with dialysis I would be able to travel, which I can if I want to. I can have my stuff delivered anywhere in the world except 4 places, and I don't know what they are, but they're probably far-flung places. And anywhere that's officially at war, they won't deliver there for the simple reason the stuff might get intercepted, and then you're left high and dry with no fluids and stuff. So it's not ideal. And so I actually started to think about the future and to say to myself, well, what about if I get too sick to travel? Like now, I wouldn't really want to be travelling now. I probably could travel if I had to, but it wouldn't be my choice to do so now. Not till I've had a transplant, and I don't know when that's going to be. So I, in the end, did end the relationship. And it was very hard, because he didn't take it at all well. In fact, things got quite nasty. And then I was glad he was abroad. It took a long time for him to accept it. And I didn't just send him a direct message or a text or whatever. We did talk about it at length on the phone. I couldn't go there. It wouldn't have been practical to go all that way for that purpose. Because you never know, people can turn funny. You might say I'd finished it. Several things could have happened. I could have finished it there. He could have bumped me off. He had guns. He could have said he's not going to let me go home again, or I could have changed my mind and decided, okay, now I've seen him again, I'll have to go on, and it wouldn't have been the right choice. So it wouldn't have been practical, but we did have it out at length. And I tried to stay friends with him, but I couldn't, because he just couldn't accept it. And that's quite sad, really. But anyway, the next relationship was with my current husband, and that started out on Facebook. And again, it started out as nothing. And we just started out talking, and we just got to know one another. First of all, we used Facebook Messenger, and we did use a little bit of Windows Live Messenger, but I think that's gone now, I'm not sure. And WhatsApp in the later stages, and mostly phone. I had a plan. I've kept it for him, on my landline with Virgin Media, whereby I pay £32 a month for 800 minutes, and you can ring anywhere. Now, to call Nigeria is over £2 a minute, so you know, you can see how quickly I save the money. And 800 minutes is nowhere near enough. It never was. It's about half an hour a day, and that's not enough, believe me. He also had a plan on his mobile, which they don't have contracts, they've only got pay-as-you-go, and he had no landline to get cheaper calls to me. I also have, and I still kept this on my mobile as well, for you never know when you might need it. If I wasn't at home and I had to call him, it was 15, instead of it being 35 pence a minute, I pay £5 a month, and it's 15 pence a minute to call abroad. I did run up some horrendous phone bills on my mobile, I don't mind telling you, because the landline was never enough. We used to speak similar sort of times a day, first thing in the morning, 11 o'clock, we spoke four regular times a day, and often communicated at other times on Facebook, on WhatsApp, not really on emails. We never really did emails that much, unless we had to send each other documents and stuff, and mostly phone. But even since then, you've got FaceTime now, and iMessage and stuff like that. And text. I use text as well, because I paid £5 a month for 100 texts abroad. And I didn't always use them, but, you know, they were there if I needed them. We met after knowing each other for 6 months, and everything was fine, and, you know, we decided we wanted to see each other again and get married and everything. And then he offered to be a potential kidney donor for me, which is ongoing, and that's that. So, but communication to Nigeria wasn't always easy, because there's several reasons. The network is often down. So he would have two phones and about four different network SIM cards. So I would always be trying one. Sometimes he'd ring me and say, "There's no network on MTN, or there's no there's no service on Airtel. I'm going over to Etisalat, or Shitalat, as we used to call it." He would always have his phone on, and we would always be able to get in touch with one another. We would always be in communication with each other throughout the day, and we would have certain signals. At one time we went through a thing, we did this for quite a long time, where I would call him every hour and he would cut the call. That was in between our talking times. He would cancel the call, and if he did that, if it rang and then he cancelled it, I'd know everything's fine. You know, because it is a worry when he's in quite a dangerous place, although it was where he's grown up, so it wasn't dangerous to him. There were a few times when he had to turn his phone off, and that's where sometimes there's a real issue with the power going out all the time there, which was ridiculous in an such a big oil producing country. And he would sometimes, it would get to the evening, and for us to be able to talk at 9 o'clock, he'd say, "Well, I've only got one bar on my phone. On the battery, you'd have to go in and plug it in somewhere." You can just go in anywhere in Nigeria. You can go into a bar or into a barber's or anywhere like that, a shop, and say, "Can I charge my phone?" Can you imagine doing that in the UK? So he would plug his phone in there and to get it charged more quickly and efficiently, he would turn it off, because they don't charge as quickly as they do here. So he would say, "I'm turning my phone off now," and I'd say, "Well, when's it going to be back on?" He'd say, "Well, give it an hour." Okay, so that would be the time. And another time was when he was working at on a building site. He had to be in charge of knowing how much fuel was used in some of the heavy machinery, and he had to go into the fuel store, and he wasn't actually supposed to turn his phone off, obviously for safety reasons, but he used to put it on vibrate. But that used to make me a bit cross, because it could have caused an accident. So I told him in the end, "Just please turn it off when you go in there. As long as he lets me know, then I know everything's fine." But that's how we went on. And the other thing with both of these people that we did was, because they were so far away, and if we were worried, we couldn't just go and get on a bus or get on a train and go, you know, and make sure they were okay. So we had contact numbers for other people so that we could, if we couldn't get hold of them for whatever reason, we could always get in touch with somebody else who would be able to find out if they were okay. And my husband actually did call my mum at 4 a.m. once because I'd woken up. No, I'd turned my phone off because it was playing up and then fell asleep before I turned it back on again. And I don't know why he didn't call my landline. I can't remember now. There must have been some reason. And then he called her and got her out of bed at 4 a.m. And she said, "I'm sure she's fine, don't worry." And then he saw my call coming. I happened to wake up at the same time and realise. And she said, he said, "Oh, she's calling me now. It's okay. Sorry to wake you." So that's how we went on. And then, of course, he applied to come here, and we had a lot of hassle getting him here, but he did come. saying goodbye at the airport was extremely distressing for me when I used to leave him, especially the last time, because that's when we'd applied, and he thought it was going to be really quick, and I had a feeling it was going to take a long time, which it did. It was more than a year and a half. So, and there was lots of reasons why I didn't go out there again, between us getting married and him coming here. And it was mainly because had the contract at his work retracted or revoked or whatever it was. The company he worked for had lost the contract for the work, and you know, you don't, over there, there's no unions, there's no redundancy. One day the whole company had a job and the next day none of them did. So he went back to his hometown and he got work there. And so he had to build up some significant savings in order to come here. And so it all took quite a long time. But at the airport, I promised I'll try not to cry, and I did. We were going towards the gate where the security, the check-ins, you know, the customs desks and all that, you know. And the lady said, we were holding up the queue, the lady was helping me, so I was holding his hand and I carried on walking, and he walked the other way, and we were like still holding on to each other's hand, and then we got to a point where we had to let go, and then I was really upset. And they're very, very strict on searches in Nigeria for obvious reasons, and I was searched about 3 times and had to take my shoes off, and all the time I was not sobbing, but I was really crying my eyes out. And then I was taken down to the gate, and they were so nice. The people there are so lovely. The people at the airport are fantastic, because each time it was ladies that helped me go in and men that helped me when I was on my inward journey there. And on my homeward journey, it was ladies, and they were very sympathetic. And the last time the lady, she said she went and told, he said he was going to stay and watch the aircraft take off, so she went and found him and said, told him that I was okay, and she put me at the gate, the aircraft gate. And she came back and told me that she'd been to see him, and she said, "Oh, it's like a film." I was very upset. But the last time, a man stopped him and said, "Excuse me, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I can see how much that woman means to you, because she was so upset when you were leaving, and I could see that it was all you could do to keep from breaking down as well. And I'd been in your shoes, I would have been crying my eyes out. And you must be a real man." Which made us laugh, and he shook hands with him. Now, the other things I want to touch on quickly are, I think in any relationship, some of the key points are communication in any relationship, especially when you're abroad, because you've only got talking, as someone else said, I think it was Nama, you've only got the verbal communication. So if anything goes wrong or you're not happy about something, the other person isn't a mind reader, you need to tell them, because if you just think it's going to go away, it doesn't, and the other person doesn't know what's wrong. They might realise there's something wrong, but not what. So you have to be communicative. It's only fair, and that's the same in any relationship. But you know, it's more likely to come to a head when you're actually together in physical terms, because you're going to be living, if you're living in the same house or even in the same town, you see each other more often, then you can't go on like that without knowing. If you've got an idea there's something wrong, you can't go on not discussing it. Whereas when you're online, you can, because you can just go away for the time you're not talking to one another, and then it's still there. Probably get larger and larger, and that's the real downside of a long distance relationship, especially when they're in another country, is the fact that you can't hold hands or give each other a hug or whatever. It all is purely down to how much you can communicate by what you're doing and what you say. Trust, obviously, in any relationship is key, but in an online or a long distance relationship, yes, it's very, very important. But it's earned, as others have said. You don't just trust somebody, they earn that trust and you earn theirs. And without that, I think pretty much any relationship is flawed. So, you know, it's not just long distance relationships, but then there's more scope for them to be doing something without the other person knowing. Another thing is to make sure you both want the same things, and that's not obvious from the start, because usually you don't realise it's going to develop into anything serious. But once you feel that it is, you need to be sure that the other person feels the same, and that you both are, as someone said, I think, on the same page. I think it was Happy Kaz said you need to be on the both on the same page, and that is very true. You need to both want the same things and have the same goals. And as I think Jeff said, and Nama, if you're in a long distance relationship, to make it work, it should only be temporary. There should be the aim to be together eventually. Otherwise, it's just pretty pointless, really. I mean, if you're happy that way, then that's okay. But I don't see how anyone could be long term. I mean, I did it for a few years. The first time, 3 years, and the second time, it was over 2 years. I don't know, I can't remember now, but anyway, it's too long anyway. But we always had that goal. In the second relationship, we always had that goal, and we had to try really hard for it. The other thing is, when you start talking to someone online, even if you don't think it's going to develop into anything and it starts out as just a friendship, don't lie about things, because you're going to have a very hard job undoing the lies when things turn more serious. So if you say you're the chief executive of a company when actually you're not working, that's a bit hard to get out of. But even any lie is, because the thing is, if you've lied about one thing, the chances are the other person will think, well, what else have they lied about? So again, it's a potential breakdown of trust. So I'm thinking particularly here, in my case, of my sight problem, because both these guys more fully sighted are. So how did I approach that? Well, in the first instance, I think what you can do, you don't lie about something. You might not mention it until you feel you have to, but don't lie about it. With the first one, it was a couple of months, and I thought, you know, I really need to tell him now. And I kept saying, there's something I've got to tell you. And I told him on, I think it was on Windows Live Messenger. We weren't actually talking then. We had done, but we weren't physically speaking, and I just packed off and went to bed. And in the morning, I had about 20 emails saying, where have you gone? Where are you? Where are you? Because he didn't mind, and it was never an issue. And there were things, it turned out, that he had to tell me. And so that was that. And then the second time, I wasn't intending anything to happen this time. Didn't even imagine so. And so I actually told him the first time we spoke, I made him guess. I made it into a bit of a game. He said, I've looked through all your pictures. He said something funny, which I'm not going to repeat on here. He said it was such a minor detail that it more or less meant, have I missed anything? Is there anything else I don't know? And I said, yes, there is one thing. So I got him to guess. And I said, look in my folder. I've got a folder on my Facebook called, or a photo album called My Dogs or something like that. And there was a picture on there of Niall, and it says, My Guide. You know, that's the caption. And then there's a picture of my little poodle, and it says, My Guard. So I told him to look for that, but he didn't get it. He still didn't get it. Then I said, one of them's a service dog. He said, well, are you a policewoman? Anyway, I did tell him that time. And so that time I was up front because I just didn't see any reason not to be, you know. I wasn't really bothered either way. So that's what I would advise people. It's important that if you're, there's something you don't want them to know straight away, it's a great thing when you're online because you don't have to tell people stuff. You can get away with it quite easily. But if it turns serious, you need to have not lied about things. That's all I can say. And yeah, to not lie, just if you have to keep it quiet, then do so and bring it out when the time is right. But because you might don't want to do it too soon sometimes. And but sometimes there are things that if you're going to go into a serious relationship with somebody, that they do need to know. And that works both ways. It's not just on your side, it can be on their side as well. And if you take the lead, which is what I did in the first time, then it came out that there was things he needed to tell me, and actually they were worse. They were a bit worse than some... Well, they were. No, that's a bit unfair. They potentially could have been a bit worse, but in a different way. But I accepted it, because by then, you know, that's what I mean about it wasn't too soon. It wasn't anything terrible, just for the record. But it was something that we needed to have out in the open. And we both needed to be aware of. So I'd just say communication, trust, respect, all the things that you should have in any relationship. But with the online one, you can hide stuff, or there is a tendency for some people to lie. I've never done it, but I know some people do. So don't lie. Just try and find the right time to tell them anything, like your eyesight, or that you've got kids, maybe. Some people might be a bit funny about someone having children. I was upfront both times about that. I didn't see that was anything to hide anyway. But some people might do. Anyway, I think I've gone on long enough, and I hope I'm not going to have the same thing where it doesn't upload again, because I should be really pissed off. Excuse my French. Anyway, speak soon, everyone, and take care. Bye for now.